Hello and welcome. I'm Judy Scott, Food Mood Expert, Certified Nutritionist and author of The Anti-Anxiety Food Solution, and I am thrilled to be interviewing Dr. Stephen Masley today. Dr. Masley is a board and fellow certified physician and nutritionist, author, speaker, and award-winning patient educator with over 25 years of research and clinical experience, and he was recently named a fellow by the American Heart Association. Dr. Masley is celebrating the release of his new book, The 30-Day Heart Tune-Up, a breakthrough plan to tune up your heart, energy, waistline, and sex life. And I have a copy right here. I had a review copy, early delivery, and it's really great. And Dr. Masley, just want to check that I have you here.
I'm delighted to be here, Trudy.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Masley. I've been a fan of yours for a while. And who couldn't love a doctor who's also a nutritionist? And seeing your videos of you doing your wonderful cooking demos just totally turned me on and just thought, wow, this is a doctor that I really want to meet. And I first actually heard Dr. Masley present on the Sexy Younger You Summit, and then I had the great pleasure of meeting him in person a few weeks ago at the Mindshare Summit. So I'm just so thrilled to have you here, Dr. Masley.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, and, you know, we do have a share a passion because – you know, my calling is to be a physician, a nutritionist, and then I'm a trained chef. So I'm trying to put that together in a way that's going to help transform the health of Americans today.
I love it. I really love it. And I'm so passionate about this topic because it ties so closely with my work and anxiety and with the work that I do with women primarily. And for a number of reasons. One is that, you know, heart disease is such a big problem for women. And one in five American women don't even believe that heart disease is a problem, and yet so many women are affected by heart disease. So I'm just so pleased that you know, you've written this book, that you bring it to the forefront, and that, you know, women need to take it seriously. And then the other area that I really wanted to interview you and why I love this is because of this big connection between anxiety and stress and heart disease and stroke. And I just love that you've got a whole chapter on stress, and we're going to talk about
that. Yeah, there's a big relationship between stress, anxiety, depression, and heart disease.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we talk about that now, and then we'll come back to some of the other questions that I have for you, because I think your chapter on stress was fantastic, and I'd just like to touch on a few things that I thought were just lovely and play such a role in reducing stress.
Okay, perfect.
So you talked about being loved and supported and how important that is when it comes to stress. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I'm not trying to necessarily get rid of stress. I like people to have purpose and challenge in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And when they accomplish something big, I mean, it's like this big, huge endorphin relief, and they feel fantastic. The challenge is we have to manage the stress in our life. And if we don't schedule ways to manage it, the stress will hurt us. So, for example, if we're constantly stressed out and we're not managing it, our cortisol hormone levels are high, and that it's an aging hormone. It shrinks our brain, grows plaque in our arteries, raises our blood sugar. It's really bad. And if we're all stressed, our adrenaline's high, so our blood pressure goes up and our heart races, and that's not good either. So it's so critical to manage stress today.
Yeah, and I like that you say it's how you handle the stress. We are going to have a little bit of stress in our lives, but it's how we handle it that's important.
Yes, yes. I mean, absolutely. So we looked at, you know, what, and so over time I've looked at what things do we need to do proactively to better manage our stress, and I find number one is to have love and support in your life. If you don't have that, it's really hard to handle stress.
I love it. I think that's beautiful.
Right? So it's about building loving relationship, whether it's family or friends, having that support, having that ongoing connection that is so powerful and critical. I just can't, you know, say enough for that. Second, I like people to go out and work out. Rather than taking a drug, go exercise, have a sweat. You're not just getting rid of sweat, you're getting rid of stress when you work out. So that's a critical component of it. One of the fun things about stress management is that romance is really good for lowering stress. You know, when people get a massage or they cuddle or they have a prolonged, like a 20-second hug, that lowers the you know, that lowers cortisol and it raises oxytocin, you feel better. And sex is great too. Having sex is really good for raising oxytocin and decreasing stress. So I think that's critically important.
Fantastic. This is all great. And then you also mentioned laughter, which I'm a big fan
of. Well, have some fun.
Yes.
People have to, you know, go out and have – here's the problem. When people are stressed and or stressed and depressed, they go to work, they wash the dishes, they do this, they pay their bills, and they're exhausted, and that's it. They don't schedule any time for fun. And if we don't have fun, the brain doesn't light up like sparklers. We don't get that endorphin. We don't get the oxytocin. Then we just feel worse.
Yes. I love it.
And so, then sleep. Let's not forget sleep.
Yes.
People need – and wait. I mean, I'm amazed how many people tell me they're getting by with 6 hours of sleep. And I'm saying, well, you're getting by, but is that enough? You know, we should wake up most days without our alarm. You wake up – before it, you're rested, the alarm's like your emergency backup. Shouldn't need it. We should feel good all day. We shouldn't need to be, you know, overdo the caffeine during the day to keep going. Shouldn't be crashing when we get home at the end of the day. We should be well rested and feel great. And if not, then there's something off. And then, you know, so lots we can do to help sleep. But those are my key. And then don't overdo alcohol and caffeine, you know. When people are stressed out, they tend to drink more alcohol, but that makes you physiologically stressed. That doesn't help stress. Might feel it at the time, but it's not doing much good. And then you need more caffeine to get up the next day, which makes you more frazzled. That's,
yes.
You know, so those are my key steps to managing stress, to, you know, de-stress your heart and, you know, get those hormones back in balance. I think that's so important.
This is beautiful. And I love that how everything that you've talked about benefits the heart and it improves your mood and reduces anxiety. So we just got a wonderful package of things that are going to improve overall health, which is wonderful. So I would love you to just tell us why you wrote this book. Why did you write the 30-Day Heart Tune-Up?
Well, it's been a story for me over years. So 20 years ago, I did a study on could we reverse. I tried to bring a Dean Ornish program to – I worked in Washington State and tried to bring it to my cooperative. We had thousands of patients, and I couldn't get anyone to follow it. So I created my own heart-reversing program, which is very similar to what it is today, adding healthy fat, healthy protein, healthy fiber to our diet, and being active. And we had really good results. And then I did a few years ago a study with that called 10 Years Younger. And when people followed that, the average person turned back the clock on aging. I mean, they were literally younger, trimmer, fitter, mentally sharper, sexier, in fact. We didn't measure that. But they were physiologically 10 years younger in a short period of time. And I've been following the 10 years younger results on my high-risk cardiac heart patients, those who have increased risk, those who have it. And wow, I mean, they're shrinking plaque. So now I've looked at and we've done studies, and I'm presenting this at the American Heart Association meeting in March, what things predict, do you have plaque, and how much? And now we're looking at what predicts shrinking plaque, and that's what this book is all about. So this is a program designed to turn back the clock on aging, tune up your heart, your energy, your waistline, and your sex life, and we've gotten proven results that it works.
Fantastic.
I just had to do it. I felt compelled. I mean, you know, I couldn't hold that information in. So I'm all in to try to help a million people in the next year.
That's fantastic. So let's talk about cardiovascular disease and why it's the number one killer of Americans.
Well, it shouldn't be. You know, it really shouldn't be. Here we've got, you know, one is we don't have health care in America. We have disease care. We wait for you to have a disease. We diagnose it, we treat it with drugs, and offer procedures. That's what our system's about in the U.S. It's sad, but that's basically what insurance covers. And most doctors are focused on making a diagnosis, treating with drugs, but that doesn't fix the cause. So we have a misguided system to treat heart disease. And we're way too focused on cholesterol. Cholesterol is not the number one cause of heart disease, but elevated blood sugar is much more important. And then people are waiting for doctors to fix their problems. Doctors are waiting to diagnose people with a disease, and putting them on drugs doesn't fix it. So we've really got our whole priorities backwards. We can prevent 90% of heart disease today, but sadly, we spend 90% of our resources on procedures and hospital care, and that's just wrong. So that's why heart disease is the number one killer today, even though we could prevent it 90% of the time. And for women, let's face it. You said this, you know, this is a big issue for women. Women appropriately worry about breast cancer. But mm-hmm. for one woman who dies of breast cancer, six women die of heart disease.
Wow.
Heart disease is a much bigger issue. And if, say, you're a young woman in your 30s, 40s, you say, I'm not going to die from it, but you're growing plaque. You know, at that age, they're growing plaque, they're building plaque, they're headed towards heart disease. And if you grow plaque in your arteries, kind of sludge along the lining of your arteries, that also means your energy's low. You feel tired. You're probably gaining weight. You don't feel good. So we want to revitalize your circulation so you feel fantastic. And we're preventing it if you're young, reversing it if you've already got it. That's the goal.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I just want to repeat that because that's pretty profound. For every one woman who dies of cancer, six die from heart disease.
Breast cancer.
Yeah. Breast cancer. Okay, got it. And we focus a lot on breast cancer, which is obviously important, but we do need to be thinking about heart disease. So I'm just so glad that you've got this book, and we can prevent it if you know, people start following this type of thing. So it's great. It really is great. So you talk about four tests to assess a risk for heart disease. And what are the four tests? And I know there's some other testing that you talk about, which I'd love to chat about as well. But let's go into the four main tests that you think are important.
Well, from a test perspective, so there's two different ways of looking at this. One is to actually measure with ultrasound, are you growing plaque? And then I mentioned four tests that we can do to assess without doing an ultrasound test. What could people do from their home? If they had the 30-Day Heart Tune-Up book, they could use tools in it to do four tests.
Okay.
In other words, the other way of asking this question is, what things do we choose to do with our lifestyle that predict whether we grow plaque or not and predict whether we can shrink our plaque or not? Those are fitness. That's
mm-hmm.
critical. How fit are you?
Okay.
Not how many minutes do you work out, but the fitness factor. Number two is fiber. Do we get enough fiber in our diet? Number three is body fat, how much fat is on us, because that's a marked factor. And then there's some food nutrients that are critical, like fish oil, magnesium, vitamin K. Those specific nutrients, maybe we should focus on how do you get them, but those are critical in assessing are you growing plaque and are you able to shrink plaque.
Okay, got it. And what about the doing some of the actual blood tests that you might do with your doctor? And then I'd love you to just talk a little bit about the ultrasound test, the carotid IMT test, because that was something that was new to me, and I think people need to know about that as well.
Yeah, so carotid IMT, that means we're going to use ultrasound, something as safe as what we do during pregnancy, no needle, no radiation, and we're going to measure on the neck the big artery that goes from your heart to your brain, the carotid artery. And we're going to measure the line. It's like a tube, and inside of it, it's got a lining, say like a thin film of sludge, and it grows over time. And we can measure the thickness of that plaque, that film on the artery. And as it gets thicker, you're growing plaque, you're at more risk for heart attack and stroke. So we can use ultrasound now to measure the thickness of the lining of the artery. We call that carotid IMT,
mm-hmm.
intimal media thickness. Or you can say just measure the carotid lining. Now, 95% of people, when they get an ultrasound of the carotid artery in a hospital or a clinic, they don't care about how your artery's aging. They want to know, do you need surgery? That's it. It's a yes or no. So 95% of the time, they could do it, but they don't do what I'm measuring. They're looking, are you a surgical candidate, yes or no? Are you 70% blocked? You are. If not, I'm sorry, you're fine, go away. Come back when you need surgery. That's the sad truth of what I think we do most of the time with the current testing out there. This one's distinctly different. It's again measuring the thickness, and with from that, I can tell a woman how old her arteries are. Does she have the arteries of a average 40, 50, 60, or 70-year-old woman? Very easy to do. And blood work, you asked about that. I think if someone's at risk, you know, people do regular cholesterol profiles, but total cholesterol is worthless to me. It has some value that total cholesterol HDL ratio, divide your total cholesterol by HDL. A normal ratio is less than 3.5, but that's still not. In our study, we didn't see any correlation with total or LDL cholesterol. The ratio did correlate with are you growing plaque. I think for women, CRP, C-reactive protein, it's a measure of inflammation. Inflammation means you're in Latin, it means inflamo, or to ignite, inflame. So if your knee's inflamed, it's all red and hot. It's like on fire. Hurt. That's knee inflammation. If your brain's inflamed, it shrinks. If your arteries inflamed, they grow plaque. So CRP is a measure of inflammation. So that's an important measure. And then I like advanced lipid profiles. If you're at high risk, the regular lipid cholesterol profile is kind of pointless. I really want to see the details, the size of your LDL cholesterol, the type of HDL. We call that an advanced lipoprotein assessment. So those are the blood work I do. Those are the tests I do. But the honest truth, Trudy, is fiber, fitness, body fat, and food nutrients, I think those are more important because they're much easier to deal with.
Great. I love it. But some people like to see numbers. So I think that's, you know, some people like to see numbers, and if that's going to motivate them to do something, then that's great as well.
But, of the things I would do the carotid IMT. If I only could do one other test, I would do a fitness test.
Okay.
I would measure someone's fitness.
Okay.
And here's something really cool. Say we only did two things and you don't have access to ultrasound. If someone passes my fitness test in the book, they can run 15 minutes up this hill on a treadmill machine with protocol, and their fiber's 30 grams a day.
Yes.
I've seen close to 1,000 patients, and nobody who can does those two things well, eats plenty of fiber and is really fit, I've never seen that person have excess plaque to date.
Well, that's fantastic because that's something that every person can do. So
everyone can get fit. Everyone can add fiber. And from my perspective, I mean, eventually, sadly, knock on wood here, I am going to meet that person someday. But to date, having done nearly 1,000 of these, I haven't met anybody who did both those things right and grew plaque.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm thank you for clarifying that because I was focusing on the results, on the testing, and you saying we shouldn't, you know, we should know about it.
Well, the testing is estimating risk,
yes.
And doctors use that to put people on drugs.
Yes, you're right.
Which usually make you feel worse and have side effects.
Yes.
I'd rather focus on what can you do with your lifestyle that's probably more effective.
Fantastic. I love it. And seeing me talking about drugs, I really want to talk about food in a second, but can you just quickly touch on statins?
Well, statins are drugs that lower cholesterol. Whether that has a benefit or not, that's controversial. They also decrease the inflammation in your artery. I think that has a benefit. Statins also decrease blood stickiness, viscosity. So some of the benefit of being on a statin may have nothing to do with your cholesterol level. It's very tons of controversy and very interesting. Now, here's the thing, though, for men who are growing plaque, statins are more effective for men by far. In fact, when we've looked at in all the studies we've done on women, none of the studies have shown putting thousands of women on statin drugs decrease their risk for heart attack and stroke. They do for men and women. They do for men only. But for women alone, they've never been shown to work. Now, having said that, I still have some women in my practice on a statin cholesterol med. I've given them a lifestyle. We've done the best we can. I'm documenting their plaque is elevated. It's high. It continues to grow. Well, I'm not a nihilist. I may still use nutrition, fitness, stress management, nutrients, and I still may put them on a drug like a statin med. But on a population across the board, they've never been shown to work. And the side effects are many. Memory loss, blood sugar goes up, muscle aches, some rarely, one less than one in a thousand, very rare, rarely one in a thousand, liver problems. They lower testosterone. No one talks about that. If you lower your testosterone levels, then you have less drive to exercise. Not just less sex drive, but total drive drops. So that's a problem for men and women. So I have to have an extra good woman reason to put a woman on a statin medication.
Great.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it totally does. And I've heard about the research on statins in women. And the other thing that I find pretty interesting is that most of the research on heart disease is with men and much less with women. Is that a true statement?
Yes, it is. I mean, men have been more studied than women.
Yes.
For most things. It's not fair. I'm not trying to justify it.
I know.
It's just an unfortunate fact. But we are catching up. I mean, in the last 10 years, almost any time a grant is accepted, unless we're talking about prostate cancer, they always say, well, you have to include an equal amount of women as men. But historically, you're absolutely right.
Okay. This is all good. So let's talk about food. So I would love to just hear from you the five new categories of food that will prevent and reverse heart disease. And
as a physician, nutritionist, and trained chef, I love food. It's critical.
And your recipes are great in your book, I must say, really great. And the video that you share with you cooking is fantastic as well. So.
Mm-hmm. So I have, so I'm offering a free video, to get people to come to my kitchen and cook with me. It's so much fun.
Love it.
And, how do you make food taste delicious and be heart nutrient friendly at the same time? And it can be done,
yes,
as I think the recipes prove. So here's five new food categories to help you tune up your heart, your circulation, your energy, your waistline, and your sex life. Number one starts with, they should be able to guess now, and that's fiber.
Fiber, yes.
Yes, from vegetable, beans, fruit, nuts, maybe a little whole grain, not a lot, like quinoa, brown rice, wild rice, something like that. But mostly from vegetables and beans, nuts, and fruit. That's where I want them to get their fiber. Two is lean and clean protein. I'm really concerned about people eating fatty protein that has a lot of hormones, pesticides, and chemicals in it. How many, I see a big relationship between anxiety and people who eat a lot of fatty dairy and fatty meats myself, that I think they might be all strung out on these hormones we're fattening up our animals with. So lean and clean, that means like more seafood, wild seafood, free-range organic chicken. That means, or a Cornish game hen, free-range organic. That would mean, if you're eating, meat, it'd be a lean serving like sirloin, and it should be grass-fed.
Excellent. Yes, you.
Lean and
fan.
Clean. And I do like beans. They're rich in fiber and protein. I think beans are great. So I think they're the highest scoring antioxidant food we've ever tested in a laboratory. So more beans. And I like protein powder. If you're on an elimination diet, then, for many reasons, then we're looking at like a rice, pea, potato protein powder. And if you don't have any food allergies, you've been tested, you've been assessed, you don't have any, then I'm okay with whey protein. Either one of those, I like both, depending on your situation. And so a protein smoothie, I think, is a great way to start the day. Number three is healthy fat. I'm not advocating a low-fat diet. I'd like people to get more fish, seafood fats, fish oil, nuts, one or two handfuls a day, more olive oil, please, and avocados and avocado oil, and cook with, olive oil, cook with olive oil, avocado oil, and nut oils. That's what I'm highly recommending. So more fat. Number four, it's a little off for some folks, but it's beneficial beverages. We want pure water, not chemically altered water. So reverse osmosis or from glass instead of plastic. I'm okay with one or two cups of coffee a day, but if you're caffeine sensitive, it's going to be too much. But better for people is green tea.
Yes, I love
it. It's more calming. It has less caffeine and has other theanine compounds that help with alertness. Monks, Buddhist monks drink green tea so they help them meditate. Nobody can drink tea, coffee, and meditate very well. You know, so it's better. And then, you know, with that, I'm okay with a glass of red wine with dinner. I think it's great for dinner, but you have to, if you can't stop at one, probably shouldn't start. And then cocoa is excellent too. You know, I love having a cup of cocoa. But one thing I want to avoid are, you know, any of these sugar drinks, including juice. You know, cut out the sweeteners and, you know, juice and all that. It's just destroying our taste buds. And then here's my last group, and it's fantastic flavors.
Oh,
now, a lot of people, yes, a lot of people gave me a hard time. How can fantastic flavors be a food category? Well, who's going to argue with dark chocolate? Right?
Right.
So we should have at least an ounce of dark. Now, it's got to be 70% cocoa. We're not talking candy, milk chocolate. For my program, you have to have an ounce of dark chocolate every day. It's great. It's really good for your heart, your blood pressure, your arteries. It decreases plaque formation. It's great for our brains. I think it helps with anxiety. It's calming. It's got magnesium. It's got fiber. And then along with that, more flavor, some more spices and herbs. Things, you know, spices and herbs like Italian herbs, rosemary, chili spice, curry spice, they all lower inflammation, they slow aging, they're wonderful for us. It makes your food taste good when you use more, and it's better for your nutrition. So as a chef, I think that's essential.
Fantastic.
I think those are five innovative, novel, new food categories.
I love it. I love that you add the flavors. And garlic was in there as well. I think that's
yeah, absolutely.
Flavors.
Garlic
that's
and ginger
so
are in that as well.
Yeah. I've got two questions on this. One is the dark chocolate. Some of my clients are very sensitive to caffeine, and the dark chocolate obviously has more caffeine. So
it has 5 milligrams.
Yeah.
Dark chocolate has about, at least that's my understanding, is 5 milligrams of caffeine. Do you think it has more?
I just know that some people are affected by it. I happen to be one of them. I can't do dark chocolate. I get very anxious. So,
okay.
And I've got a number of clients who can't either. So
okay, well, you could be very caffeine sensitive. So green, you know, tea has 30 milligrams, one cup of tea. Decaf tea has 5 milligrams. Decaf coffee has about 5 to 10. A Starbucks is about 150.
Yep.
Cup
yeah,
of Starbucks coffee.
Yeah.
So this is 5.
Yeah. No, it's,
may be other compounds in the besides the caffeine. There's xanthines and there's many other things in. You know, it's not. There's a whole bunch of flavonoids in there. So, you know, people can be intolerant of anything.
Right.
Dairy, soy, obviously gluten. That's like number one.
Mm-hmm.
But you may have a food intolerance. It may not be caffeine related. What happens if you have a cup of decaf green tea?
I tend not to go for decafs. I just go for like rooibos tea or other herbal teas that don't have any caffeine, and I do fine.
Okay.
But,
well, I would be curious, just you know, for you and your, and folks like you, if a cup of decaf green tea wires you up, that's only 5 milligrams. Well, there you go.
Okay, I'll try it. I'll let you know.
So, but you might be ultra sensitive, or if not, if you can drink, you know, and we're just talking lightly brewed. Not heavy brewed something, lightly brewed green tea, decaf. If that 5 milligrams gets you, you've got it. If not, you could be sensitive to something else in the chocolate, and it's not the caffeine.
Okay.
But let me know.
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
Now you've got me curious.
Yes. I've got one other question for you around the food. We didn't mention eggs, and I know a lot of my clients talk about eggs. Does that fall under the lean and
well, from a heart, I mean, some of the food, common food allergies, gluten, dairy, soy, eggs, and you know, fall in there. So, but if you don't have that, that's probably 5% of people are egg protein sensitive. The other 95%, I think they're heart healthy as long as we're buying organic, free-range eggs.
Right.
I'm not talking hormone, pesticide, chemical-enhanced eggs,
fantastic.
You know, from these mass chemical farms. You know, so free-range organic eggs, they have healthy protein, healthy fat. I have no problem. I recommend, you know, so have a veggie omelet once in a while. I have a couple really, here's a surprise, easy-to-make souffle recipes in my book, The 30-Day Heart Tune-Up. You know, people think souffle, oh, you can't make a souffle, it's terrible. It's easy. I show people how to make it easy, how to make a souffle that your friends and family will love. And they're so fun. festive. They're great. So, yes, thank you for bringing that up. I do recommend healthy eggs on, you know, a regular basis.
And including the yolk, because a lot of people say, well,
the yolk is, if they're organic, free range,
yes,
then I'm going to eat the whole egg. If I'm in a restaurant and I know they're not using them, I'm going to order the egg white omelet. I mean, honestly, when I'm out, I'm most likely to get an egg white omelet because they're not using good quality eggs. But at home, when I make eggs, I'm always going to buy the best organic free-range eggs I can find, and I'm good with that.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Good point. Excellent. So I want to, I know we're wrapping up here, and I know that I would love to quickly touch on the two foods that cause heart disease, because a lot of people
are
thinking fats, and I know there's something that you've got very different in your book that you talk about. So can we talk about that, and then I'd love to just give people the offer that you are making for some wonderful free stuff.
So here's the key. If people are getting refined carbs, that's sugar in any form, or flour, that's the surprise. When you grind a grain into flour and you compare it, let's compare a bowl of sugar, a bowl of white flour, and a bowl of whole grain flour or whole wheat flour. They all give you the same rise in blood sugar in your bloodstream, which causes inflammation and plaque growth and everything goes wrong. So anybody who's got, you know, trying to lose weight, who is inflamed, who has elevated cholesterol, who's got concerns, cut out the sugar and all flour, and that's a huge benefit. That's been amazing how effective that's been for me in helping my patients. The second food toxin is trans fat, partially hydrogenated fat. That's just embalming fluid. That stuff is toxic. What were they thinking when they made foods with this stuff? I mean, the truth is the food lasts for years. You could put it in a bomb shelter and it won't go bad. But nobody wants to eat it. But it's all over the place.
It's crazy.
Most, you know, do you realize the majority of calories in the American diet for a decade have come from trans fat and refined carbs?
Ah, it's terrible.
Just toxins.
Yeah.
So it's no wonder we have a huge rate of heart disease today when you consider that.
Right. And there's a big connection between both of those and depression and anxiety as well.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, if you're eating plastic, your brain's going to be stiff,
yes,
and your cells can't communicate and you'll be anxious and depressed.
Right. Great. Well, I'm glad you cleared that one up because so many people are thinking it's the fats that are a problem and it's really the sugars and then these nasty fats which are a problem.
Yeah, sugars and trans fat, those are just toxins to us.
Well, this has been so fantastic, Dr. Maisley. I want to just share this wonderful gift that you have, the 30-day heart tune-up gift package, and folks can go and get these downloads. One of them is, do you want to go through them or should I just go through them quickly?
You can, go ahead. You're doing great.
The first one is Know Your Risks, the tests that you must have that your doctor may not be ordering. So we touched on those and you're going to get a list of all of those. And then Are You Getting What You Need for a Healthy Heart? And this is a nutrient guide. And then the wonderful thing that I thought was fantastic is this wonderful video that you're offering. Join Dr. Maisley in his kitchen and whip up his favorite delicious heart-healthy recipe. And I signed up and got all these wonderful goodies, and I just love your gumbo recipe, and it's just wonderful to see you in person cooking in the kitchen with all the beautiful food.
Oh, thanks.
So I'm going to the URL that you want to go to get this gift is tinyurl.com/hearttuneup, and I'll be sending out an email with a link to all of this so you can go and get this wonderful wonderful free gifts from Dr. Maisley. And this gift offer does expire end of the day on January the 31st at midnight. That's correct, Dr. Maisley?
Yes.
Okay. And then, of course, his book is fantastic. As I said, I've got a copy and I just love it. And it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Is there anything else you want to mention before we wrap up?
No, I mean, you're awesome. Thank you so much. I loved your questions and love the anti-anxiety food solution, too.
Okay.
So I'm one of your fans, so it's a pleasure to be here talking with you.
Well,
I think this is a chance for America to take back their health, to tune up their heart, prevent heart disease, the number one killer today, and tune up their energy, their waistline, and their sex life, and help with their anxiety, depression, all at the same time.
I love it. And thanks so much for being here, and I wish you much success with your continued area in this important work of heart health, and then also much success with the release of your new book and getting this message out. It's so important, and it's been wonderful having you here.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Masley.